make these happen. One is that every voice on that public PEG gets heard and is respected and is fully considered. So we're not going by any way to operate in a way that everybody doesn't get heard and have a chance to express their view. Secondly, my recommendation and my vice chair's recommendation will be that we do operate by consensus. At least we go in with that being our operating modem. If we are unable to reach consensus, then my recommendation will be to them that we present you with both opinions, clearly and unvarnished, so that because ultimately you have to make the decision. And by the same token, we are not a legally constituted group where a vote of 12 to 11 makes a hill of beans. It might be, I can foresee a situation where 8 people strongly feel one way and 18 feel a different way, and you may evaluate those and say, gee, the 8 are right and the 18 are wrong. So I want us to be giving you unvarnished advice from the 8 and the 18 so you can clearly see what the debate is and you can make the decision. So I'm expecting that that's the way we will come to you, and we will have a written report to answer Commissioner Leonard. We're not going to just come up and babble in front of you. You will have it in writing, and you will have our best attempt to succinctly state what our opinion is and what our advice is to you. And so I can very well foresee, because I've been involved in a lot of these, that we may have 30 recommendations we want to make, and we may have 25 where we have 100% consensus, and you can be very happy, and we can all smile and say, great recommendation. And there may be 5 where we don't. And those may be 5 where we're divided 3 ways or 4 ways, or we may be divided 2 ways, and it may be, like I said, 18 to 8. And we'll tell you what the 18 said and what the 8 said, and you guys can decide what's the right decision.
That's a great answer, and I really appreciate that, Bill. And, leave the babbling to us. We do that really well here.
Well, we're good. Committees like these are good at babbling, too. So, but anyway, that's basically the way I foresee us operating. And so it's really not a question of how many votes there are for a particular interest on the group. We could pack it with a whole bunch of people with one interest, but still I'm going to come to you and we're going to tell you what the various interests said, because you may decide that the interest with one vote was the right one and the rest of people were nuts. So we'll leave it to you. You get paid the big bucks.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. I mean, this is a really tough job.
It'll be fun and interesting, and we'll try and keep it fun.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, we have public testimony. How many folks have signed up?
We have 14 people signed up. Okay. The first 3 people are Fred Stovall, Brett Vanderhoevel, and Bonnie McKnight. They'll be followed by Allison Stahl, Robin Denbury, and Erwin Bergman.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is Fred Stovall. I'm the present chair of the Airport Issues Roundtable, and I live at 3125 Northeast 52nd. I've been at this now for 10 years, and I've been at all the processes mentioned in paragraphs 1 through 6 of the ordinance that's before you. Air and other citizens have been waiting for this process to start since July of 05. And so in December, when we got the details of the streamlined process that was briefed to you to take it from multiple interest group down to 18, including the chair, we were kind of surprised by the lack of public involvement in the fact that this process was streamlined, and we, several of us, were at the table in the writing of the IGA, and so we had some preconceived notions of what was expected in the public involvement process. We tried to make this thing work by suggesting multiple modifications, and some of those have been briefed to you. They added 5 to the community side of this three-part public advisory group. They added, as you saw, Clark County, East County, and a couple more Portland neighborhoods. But they held the line at that 11 when other groups suggested that as the city land use part of this joint process, there was not enough city representation. And so we were stopped with 11. We're happy that there was more flexibility in the way that we saw the PAG operating. And we did argue for that because there were very stringent bureaucratic rules that would limit the PAG's ability and the ability of the subcommittees to be self-selecting and to bring in more people. It looks like a significant compromise, but when you look at community, there's non-Portland interest balancing, so to speak, all the Portland interests. And even if it's by consensus, the number of voices at the table have to be able to represent Portland interest. People will be at that table for 2 years. People that come and go as part of subcommittees or testify from the community at open houses and other groups, which have been in the past more public relations than public involvement, you really have to, as a city, look at the city interests and see whether or not this thing is balanced. All these other discussions about how the third runway would come about and all that are very technical issues that people are going to have to grapple with over time. We've already testified with on the conditional use about how that operates. So we urge you, add at least 5 more, 2 environmental, 2 city, and put air back into this mix. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners. My name is Brett Vandenhoevel. I'm the staff attorney for Columbia Riverkeeper. We're an organization that works to protect water quality in the Columbia Basin. And I want to echo some of these comments. Focusing specifically on water quality, there's currently no representative on the current advisory group that represents a water quality advocacy group. There's no balance in that respect. And so we recommend that the advisory group should have at least one member that represents water quality advocacy organizations. There's several reasons why this is important, in addition to other neighborhood and air and environmental groups that should also be on there. The citizens of Portland and the region have consistently demonstrated support for water quality. Obviously, water quality of the Columbia River is the linchpin of our region, its economic and other interests. Due to the location of the airport, the large size of the facility, the chemicals used, the tremendous amount of stormwater that comes off of it, the proposed expansion, that it's extremely important to have a group there advocating for water quality issues. Recently, there's been a lot of discussion about the de-icing stormwater, the expansion of the airport. Just looking at the map that was shown earlier shows the importance of the airport on the Columbia River and the Columbia Slough. We believe that the advisory group requires balance that represents the values of the citizens of the region. The Columbia Slough Watershed Council, although they are an important organization and do quality work, we don't believe they're a water quality advocacy organization. We recommend somebody who specifically focuses on this. Columbia Riverkeeper has a regional perspective. So to sum up quickly, that we recommend at least 2 environmental groups, one being a water quality advocacy organization, as representatives on the advisory group. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, members of the council, my name is Bonnie McKnight. I live at 1617 Northeast 140th in Portland. And I'm testifying today as a member of the IGA committee, which began the process you're continuing. I participated in that committee because I felt the transition from a conditional use master plan process for guiding airport impacts to an undefined replacement entity was first and foremost a land use issue. I continue to believe that is true, and I believe that requires parity in the PAG membership. During the intense work of the IGA committee, 2 major concerns were identified for me. the environmental needs of the airport area, and the land use process guarantees of citizen participation. The first was how all of the strong environmental protections offered by the city could continue to be a filter for the unique needs of operating the airport. Representatives of the port assured us that they too respected the environmental features of the area and did not intend to weaken their protection. However, when the Metro Council conducted a public process to continue Goal 5 environmental protections for the entire region, the port negotiated an exemption from all Metro Goal 5 rules by convincing individual councilors outside the public process to amend the final resolution and provide an exemption. I'm concerned that this lack of public visibility not continue as airport futures process is guided by the PAG. And that makes the makeup of the PAG the essential foundation for the next several years. With all of its flaws, the conditional use master plan process guarantees that impact neighborhoods will have public opportunities to identify and help resolve problems about the use of the facility or institution they must live with. They are not only guaranteed the right to testify about those issues, but they are guaranteed access to a hearings officer, to you as their elected city council, and even to the Land Use Court of Appeals if they feel a defined public interest was not adequately addressed. I ask that you, as the elected body protecting public good for every resident of the city, support expansion of the PAG to better represent these voices as the Airport Futures effort goes forward. The PAG balance needs more general voices. That includes coalitions, selected representatives, an airport issues roundtable representative, a representative from citywide land use group, and other representatives from community interest groups focusing on the environment or other public concerns. I hope you, acting as the only elected body having direct policymaking responsibility for airport futures, bring a greater community presence to this effort by increasing membership of the PAG to better reflect the full range of community interests impacted by activities of the airport and to achieve parity on the PAG committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three are Allison Stahl, Robin Denbury, and Erwin Bergman. They'll be followed by John Wygant, George Brunder, and Eric Meyer.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Mayor Potter and commissioners, my name is Allison Stoll. I am the executive director of Central Northeast Neighbors. We are located at 4415 Northeast 87th Avenue, co-located with Fire Station 12. Thank you for allowing us to be here, and thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for pointing out that we didn't have an overhead of the full composition of the PAG, because I think that that's very important to keep in mind. Central Northeast Neighbors is a coalition of 8 neighborhoods bounded roughly by the Columbia River, I-84, 205, and Northeast 33rd Avenue. The Portland Airport is located within our coalition. I am before you today on behalf of Central Northeast Neighbors to ask that you support a balanced PAG with balanced representation. With the present composition of the PAG, there is not a balance. We would ask Council to add at least 2 more neighborhood representatives from the Portland area around the airport, 1 representative from AIR, separate from the coalition representatives, because at our last coalition board meeting, our board felt that we deserved our own seat and AIR needed a seat for itself. And 2 more environmental representatives, because as the Columbia Riverkeeper pointed out to you, the environment around the airport is very important. We have the Columbia Slough and the river. It's very important. I would disagree with the port's recommendation not to add people to the PAG. A good facilitator can handle adding 5 to 8 more people. I know that I've facilitated plenty of meetings with 30 to 50 people, and everyone had a chance to be heard. If parity is a problem, then perhaps some seats could be removed to make the balance. When we think of the airport, we think of travel and commerce. While environmental impact certainly includes regional growth, remember that impacts to the neighbors include the neighbors surrounding the airport include noise, both ground and air, environmental, traffic, including bringing the 280,000 tons of goods and materials over our roads, and a portion of the 14 million people who travel in and out of the airport. Thank you.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. So my name is Robin Denberg, and I'm a past board member of the Concordia Neighborhood Association. I'm also the outreach coordinator for the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, and I've been involved with this issue for a couple of years because I started getting woken up in the middle of the night at 2:30 in the morning and then at 5:30 in the morning and 5:45. And so I've been involved with this issue for a while. There's a broad-based coalition of folks that are concerned about the composition of the PAG, and that's environmental groups like Columbia Riverkeepers, Audubon Society. It also includes neighborhoods. Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, all the neighborhood associations have endorsed a position saying that there needs to be broader representation. Central Northeast Neighbors, a variety of neighborhood associations. I just went to a Woodlawn Neighborhood Association meeting where I didn't even know anybody knew about this issue, and I had 10 people asking me, I was there for a different topic, asking me, what's going on with the airport? Why are the planes flying over our house? What's going on with the master planning process? Why is it unbalanced? And there's also just a broad-based support within the community in general with concerns about the airport. Now, my goal and my objective with the PAG's composition is balance. The port's stated goal is the ability to build a third runway when a trigger or a condition is reached, and to remove city land use authority within the port district. It may be incremental, but it begins today. And it's all about the vote. Even if there is consensus for most of the issues, there will be controversial issues where there will need to be a majority vote. And when that happens, the majority vote is going to carry significant weight for when it comes back before the council. Especially because council cannot vote on the master plan piece of this, it's important today to have balance within the committee in order to represent Portland's interests. At present, those supporting the port's objectives have a 6-7 seat majority. I would like to see at least 5 seats added to achieve balance. I'm requesting 2 seats for more environmental groups, 2 more seats for neighborhoods, particularly those directly impacted like Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods and Central Northeast Neighbors, and also a seat for the Airport Issues Roundtable that's been engaged in this issue for a long period of time. I would appreciate Council directing the Bureau of Planning to add those 5 seats so that it gets us close to a balance. I also just want to quickly mention that ONI is not funded in the proposed budget, and so the public involvement piece will not have ONI participation unless that is changed. In general, we need to take a regional approach rather than to take in an effort to take the pressure off of PDX. But if we're going to do this process, a minority vote could be accepted by council on land use issues, but it's going to be hard to do. The key thing is to create balance right now by making a change to the composition. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, council members. My comments likewise address inadequate representation on PAC by City of Portland neighborhood coalitions bordering PDX. These neighborhoods will be highly burdened with extensive adverse impact degrading their quality of life. Adverse impacts will not only be from aircraft operation, but from a whole host of ground-based activities connected with PDX, specifically movements of materials, goods, and people to and from PDX. I'm therefore asking Council to support my recommendation to add 4 additional positions to the PAG in support of neighborhood coalitions abutting and most impacted by PDX. Without a fair and balanced neighborhood representation, insufficient emphasis would likely be placed on the critical impact avoidance hierarchy: avoid, minimize, mitigate. At the same time, and reflecting PDX's confessed goal of obtaining a long-term or permanent operating city license unencumbered by periodic reviews and revisions, it would likely eliminate opportunities for neighbors to seek redress for quality of life injuries. With a master plan essentially only updating the prior 2000 plan, the legislative process will attempt to create essentially from scratch specific operating parameters for PDX reflecting the city's objectives, a much larger undertaking. The 4 positions that I'm asking for, 2 of these should be provide support to neighborhood coalitions mostly impacted from PDX. One would be Central Northeast Neighbors. The other could be a neighborhood coalition, either east or west of Airport or to the southeast. Air should likewise be provided with a PAG seat. Air has for many years represented all of Portland communities and worked PDX on literally all land issues. One additional PAG member should be represent human environmental issues in the city, augmenting the other environmental PAG member that manages natural environment issues, including habitat. The 11 committee members that are identified, only four of those are representing city or Portland neighborhoods, and I believe that, and we believe that, only those four have good legal standing as affected stakeholders. We do not believe that on a city of Portland land use issues, Washington representatives and Gresham representatives on the PAG have stakeholder status. On the 25 PAG seats that are identified as optimum, we believe that the additional four would likewise be in the optimum range. Who is to say what is not optimum? All we know is too little will provide insufficient input. Too large a group will become cumbersome. We appreciate your endorsement of my recommendation. Thank you very much.
Sir, did you state your name for the record?
Irvin Bergman. I apologize if I didn't.
Thank you. Thanks, folks.
Our next three are John Wygant, George Brunder, and Eric Meyer. They'll be followed by Corky Collier, Sean Lawren, and Paul Van Orden.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name for the record when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
My name is George Brunder, B-R-U-E-N-D-E-R, 2414 Northeast Highland. I am the land use chair for NECN, Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods, representing 12 inner Northeast neighborhoods. I'm also the land use chairman for Concordia Neighborhood. And the Northeast neighborhoods, the residents are basically happy with an urban airport, you know, the close proximity. Who could argue about that? But we want to be assured that our participation on this futures advisory group, our participation in this process will be given equal weight with all the other players. And we've had somewhat of a history in Concordia. We've always talked about two major runways, the north and south one. There's actually been a third one in operation. We call it the east-west. It's been called the Crosswinds Runway. It was used for adverse weather conditions. About 10 years ago, there was a major change in the use of that runway, and it became a major route for the box haulers, the air cargo haulers. And we knew that in Concordia because the planes flew over us regularly, day in and day out. And we've been in negotiations with the Port of Portland and PDX for the past 2 years, directly as a neighborhood association and with the help of Commissioner Adams' office to expedite that and to get some of that traffic dispersed a little bit. As I said, the change took place 10 years ago, and my initial question was there any approval from the public? Was there any public involvement? I approached the city. The city got back to me and said, no, we find no record. There's no written record. There's no hard copy. PDX said, we'll get back to you. This was 2 years ago. Whenever I see Chris Korich, he says, we're working on it. I take for granted that there was probably no public involvement. So as neighborhoods, we're concerned about getting strong representation at this time. So if the fourth runway comes down the line, it's going to affect our livability and safety in our neighborhoods. And that's why we're asking an equal representation with a lot of the other players. For example, business has 6 people. We have 4. You know, that could be equalized, 4 and 4, 5 and 5, 6 and 6, whatever tends to work out. A couple of other issues. When people were talking about this being a regional plan, we would like to see region expanded even further to include I-5 corridor. We would also be interested in seeing talk about other kinds of transportation, not just air. Okay, thank you.
My name is Eric Meyer. Am I supposed to go last?
Go ahead.
My name is Eric Meyer, and I reside at 6837 Northeast Alameda, and I'm a resident of the Roseway neighborhood. I've been involved in airport issues since 1998, initially generated by concerns over the impact to our neighborhood of low-flying cargo feeders or box haulers. I was a citizen member of the Part 150 noise plan representing air. I also participated in the box hauler negotiations between the port, the FAA, the airlines, the city noise office, and our neighborhoods. After all the work, endless discussions, community meetings, public relations, we're still waiting upon the agreed-upon changes from both of those endeavors. Today, I'd like to express my concern about the city's ability to represent its interests in this new PDX planning cycle. During the year and a half that I spent trying to help with the noise plan, I became very concerned when near the end of our meetings, the port injected in the 150 what I thought to be a dangerous precedent in terms of land use measures. I knew that when the noise gets to a certain level, the FAA can pay to insulate or buy out affected property. But below that specific high noise level, the port was proposing requiring warnings to potential home buyers that the houses they wanted to buy could be located in noisy aircraft areas. This criterion would be based not on the official noise levels, but by using noise complaints as a generating factor. I live 5 miles away, and I still get rattled out of bed by box haulers. I'm in no recognized noise zone. It seemed to be shaping up at the time that if you complained about noise, your neighborhood could be labeled a problem area. Realtors could be forced to disclose this, and property values would be changed, and I don't think they would go for the better. I thought this was a totally one-sided land use decision that the city needed to look at. And some of you in city government may remember my frantic telephone calls at the time, and thankfully the proposal was eventually dropped. This experience illuminated to me the fact that the city has to have more expertise and more opportunity to deal with issues emanating and dealing from the port and the FAA. I like the people on the port, but I have to disagree with something that was said, which was that if there were more citizens on the 150, if there were more seats, that the box hauler thing wouldn't have come up. Well, I was on the 150, and I was a broken record about the box haulers. And public testimony came involved. But if there wasn't somebody on that committee that was bringing that up time after time, that wouldn't have ever entered the 150 process. It was also evident in the Part 150 that the citizens of Vancouver and Clark County wanted a different outcome than Portland citizens. They strongly put forward a plan to put more flights over our side of the river to avoid more noise on the North Shore. Now, these are legitimate issues needing to be discussed, but sometimes Portland neighborhoods get outgunned due to lack of participation and representation. Simply put, I'm urging you to add enough city voices to this advisory committee so that average citizens, those who have to deal with impacts generated by aviation, can feel that they aren't being sacrificed to outcomes that the city could have prevented with some minimal oversight. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm John Wygant, 18989 Northeast Marine Drive, Portland, 97230. I was AIR's first chair and have been involved with these issues for nearly a decade. As a former urban planner, I had a specialty in projecting the future, and I'm not here today to tell you what I want. Rather, I'm here to foresee some future and suggest that you want some changes to lead to the future I believe you want. I'm going to change thrust a little bit. I am deeply concerned about the composition of the PAG, but my time will not allow me to make those comments too. Rather, I would like to talk about the amendment that is before you. One of the paragraphs of this amendment, the conditional use permit extension, should be deleted. Another should be modified. Paragraph 5, the conditional use permit extension, inserts a new section into the IGA. This should be rejected. It is completely unneeded since it says only that if the planning process is substantially complete, the city will, upon port application, entertain an extension of the term of the CUP. But you'll do that even if it's not in the IGA. Adding such language implies that the city will tolerate further delay of a project that's already at least a year behind schedule. through no fault of the city's. Furthermore, the paragraph has no provision if the planning process is not substantially complete. So please delete paragraph 5 and let normal city procedures govern the CUP process. Paragraph 3, the airport futures website collaboration, needs a clarification added. This section is mostly boilerplate, but it enables a potential problem. The language gives essentially total control of the website to the port. A systems principle says that organizations are controlled by their information flows. The website will be the major information flow for the process to you, the PAG, and the public. Total control of this flow by any involved process can give the appearance of bias, even if none exists. The problem can be nipped by adding a benign subparagraph to the others of the IGA Section 3C, that paragraph being 5. Content and structure of the website will be subject to review and comment by a subcommittee of the PAG. The rest of my testimony is submitted, but Commissioners Adams and Leonard, I believe I can answer your questions about the role of the third runway and the resulting master plan, but not necessarily the land use plan. There is a distinct possibility that these two products may produce incompatible results, and I leave that to you to resolve. I refer to you the language of the current IGA, Attachment 1, the City Work Plan, paragraph 7B4, that talks about the alternatives analysis. May I continue to answer your question, my time? Oh, I still have some time.
Sir, you are over.
Oh, okay.
You're 30 you. Seconds.
30 seconds?
Over. Thank you.
Next three are Corky Collier, Sean Longren, and Paul Van Orden. They'll be followed by Veronica Renard and Linda Robinson.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Paul Van Orden, resident of Northeast Portland. Mayor Potter, members of council, today I am not appearing before you as my usual role as the city's noise control officer. Today I'm here representing ONI as an appointed person to the LUAC committee. I was appointed by past director Jimmy Brown. The perspective that I wanted to offer today is a very simple perspective that I reached from my 11 years in the city of Portland and 16 years in environmental enforcement work. And that's the perspective that a committee of this nature involving the large number of citizens that it will have some turnover where we'll have citizens stepping down from the process. And in that process, we want to ensure that there's buy-in from the community, that they feel that their voice is heard. And I feel that in looking at the composition, and I offered this same perspective during the LUAC process, especially in the last two meetings of the process, that we would be well served as a community to have the committee slightly overbalanced with more citizen representatives than port-centric representatives. So I did a little quick tally at our last meetings of the LUAC and offered that the original makeup that we were discussing was too heavily centered towards the port. So what I wanted to offer today is, from my professional experience in working with the community and communities back on the East Coast, we would be well served in adding two more environmental constituents, two more neighborhood constituents, and in particular on that note, I would lean towards the neighborhoods that are most heavily impacted, so CNN and NCN and NECN. And then in terms of just the amount of involvement that the communities had on airport issues, I would say it's not logical to have a civic representative, one of the categories they have in the process. I would say that we replace that particular constituent with someone from AIR just based on their long-term history working with the community and their knowledge of the issue. And so I just wanted to offer that as my experience drawing on 2 years on the LUAC and as the youngest member originally almost 10, 11 years ago on the original NAC, the Noise Abatement Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Corky Collier, Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association. Good morning. I'm feeling a little like the odd man out. I'm actually here to support the current plan, support the funding as well as the current outreach plan. I think city staff has gone to great lengths to create a good plan that not only allows for public input, but actually solicits it. I'm real pleased what they've done. Just as an example, they're asking to come to our organization once a month. I had to hold them back and say, how about once a quarter, to meet with us and get our input on the plan. It's my understanding that recently City Council staff had recommended that the Columbia Corridor Association actually be the business association representative on the PAG, and then later came back and said, you know, maybe that seat is better represented by labor interests. I agreed with that for a couple of reasons. One, I like the public input process that they've created, but most importantly, I felt that it's important to the PAG to keep it at a reasonable size. If you'll listen to Chair Blosser's comments, that he also agrees that a little bit smaller size, actually 25 is pretty big, will allow a little bit more dialogue, more meaningful dialogue. We still have a lot of public input. We're still going to focus on a consensus basis and give you information when consensus basis isn't used. Based on that, while I would have loved to have served on the PAG, I think it was best to not do so in order to keep the size a more reasonable one. I like what the port's done. I like what the city's done. I think they've got a great process. I hope that you support the funding, and I hope you support the current outreach plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor and Council, I'm Sean Loughran. I work for the City of Vancouver out of the City Manager's Office. I've participated in this process along with Laura Hudson, the City's Long-Range Planning Manager. I want to say and compliment you on adopting a joint approach to this planning effort. I know it's complicated. I appreciate the great pains that you are going to understand exactly what it is that you're deciding and what's being decided by this community. I particularly want to thank you for including Vancouver and Clark County as part of that community. Like the I-5 Columbia River Crossing, like the Columbia River itself, Portland International Airport is a regional transportation facility. Southwest Washington sees Portland International Airport as its airport as much as it sees it as Portland's airport. Vancouver certainly shares in the benefits of international air service. It also shares in the costs of international service, and that's why we feel we are a key stakeholder in this process. We greatly appreciate the opportunity to have appointed the vice chair and have members both from City of Vancouver staff, from City of Vancouver neighborhoods, and from Clark County participate in this process. Mr. Korich had an exhibit that he showed earlier that shows the airport layout and principally area to the south. I think if the airport was more centered, you'd see how much of Vancouver is in close proximity to the airport. I know Mayor Pollard is fond of saying that the airport is closer to his office than it is to yours. But certainly a lot of air traffic goes over downtown Vancouver. While I participated directly in the aviation consultant selection process, Laura Hudson participated in the review and development of the airport futures work plans as part of the Land Use Advisory Committee. We strongly believe that the proposed planning advisory group structure is well suited to the task at hand. It's designed with the intent of making the chair and the vice chair successful in their mission, given its size. It was something that was put together with a great amount of thought. It certainly wasn't arbitrary that the representatives chosen and the number of people chosen has a specific intent. I think you should keep in mind that the Planning Advisory Committee, while it's a very important part of the process, it's only one component, and it's well supported by an extensive public involvement effort and great opportunities for other people to be involved. I think you should also be aware that expanding the committee could be a slippery slope. If a number of representatives are added from Portland and other interest groups, I think that Clark County and the City of Vancouver would expect to be offered the same opportunity to appoint additional members. And again, I think we come to a committee that becomes unmanageable. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Our last two are Veronica Renard and Linda Robinson.
Good Mayor Potter and Commissioners, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about the Airport Futures Joint Planning Process. It's good to see you all again. For the record, I'm Veronica Reinert. I'm the Director of Community Relations for the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association. We're very pleased to see this joint planning process between the port and the city. As you know, the airport is critically important to our regional tourism industry. We're very proud of our airport's ranking as the top airport in the nation and also for its recognition for sustainable practices. Both of those certainly help us to market the city, and we want to see that quality maintained. I've been participating on the Land Use Advisory Committee for about the past year since I took the position of Community Relations, and we looked very extensively at the Airport Futures Work Plan and the Public Involvement Plan over three meetings. One of the things, of course, that we really looked into was the Public Advisory Group. We originally looked at a suggested PAG of 44 members, but there was a lot of discussion and a lot of concern through our meetings that that large of a group would really be too unwieldy and could bog down the process. With further discussion, we came up with the PAG of 25 members, which provides for a balanced representation of stakeholders, but also maintains a workable size. We also had discussion about representatives on the public advisory group then going back out to their community groups and their constituency groups, sharing information and receiving input so that they were bringing a wider perspective to the group. We also felt that there was an adequate number of public meetings planned throughout the schedule. I think, if I remember correctly, it was 19, to allow for even more broad community input. So I'll keep my comments brief and just end by urging consideration of, caution in creating a group that would be too big to be efficient and effective, and to also recognize the work that LUAC has already put in looking into this plan and this public advisory group and the considerations that we made in approving the 25 size. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Linda Robinson, and I live in Outer East Portland. I've been involved with the port and this issue, for 12 years or more. My first involvement with the port was with a de-icing issue in the mid-90s or so, and my experience then with their public involvement process and their openness was left a lot to be desired. They've made a lot of improvement in the 12 years since that first experience, but they still have a ways to go. And my involvement with the IGA committee, we worked very hard to come up with a process that would assure more public involvement than they had in the last master plan. And the idea of the PEG and having this land use process going on simultaneously and having a single PEG was so that the master plan didn't get ahead of this land use process, and so that people who were involved with one knew what was going on with the other. So we felt it was very important to have this single PEG advising both groups. The LUAC, I've been a member of LUAC as well, and there was not unanimous agreement that the public involvement process and the PEG composition was correct, especially as of the last meeting, which was February. A lot of the changes have happened since then, and I do thank the port for adding some additional positions, and even more important, for opening up the subcommittee process. What they presented to the LUAC in February and continued to have on in the work plan until the last month or two was that these subcommittees could be only made up of PAG members and nobody else could be on them. That has changed. They've opened it up so that others can be on them as long as a PAG members are the core of those subcommittees. That, I think, will make the public involvement process much better. So one of the concerns, another concern of the citizens who've been involved with a conditional use permit, the IGA committee where we spent 6 or 8 months coming up with an IGA and the LUAC, is that it's really important that the city not allow the port to kind of dominate this process. This needs to be truly a joint process, and I just want to make sure that the city is committed to making it so, because I think this land use planning process is really going to be critical. We kind of know what the results might be of the master plan process with some refinements, although I think it will be better than the last master plan because I think there'll be more emphasis on how to grow within the existing infrastructure rather than just relying strictly on new infrastructure. So I think that will be an improvement. But the land use process and making a process so that when when the proposal for another runway comes, that we'd have a lot of public improvement, that we public involvement, that we meet environmental concerns, transportation concerns, noise concerns. This is really, I think, the core of this. That's why we feel there needs to be plenty of Portland representatives, because this is a Portland land use process. The last I heard, AIR was not on it. I see that today they presented that AIR has a member position on that PAG, and so that pleases me. It would be nice to see a couple of more interest groups represented on that if we can. I was pleased to see that consensus model will be used with the PAG.
Thank you. Gil, do we have copies, spare copies, to give the council members of the makeup of the...
I actually have something I can hand out here that includes that.
Okay. Could I just mention a couple of things to kind of frame the discussion here? First of all, I want you to know, I have one thing to say about process and then one of maybe about the substance of the PAG. On the process side, you should realize that the item before you today does not specify the composition of the PAG. It has a work program and acceptance of the money from the port. The work program only anticipates this planning advisory group and anticipates that I, along with my counterpart at the port, Mary, will appoint the members. So process-wise, you could adopt the stuff today and make further suggestions and directions to me that I would then have to negotiate with my counterparts at the port in terms of membership, because the agreements before you today do not specify the membership. So I think you could take the action before you today and then follow up on the membership thing. I'm always, of course, in many cases we do this and we never bring it to council. I'm happy to expose it at this early date to council to make sure your comfort level is where it should be. But one process suggestion might be that you ask the mayor and perhaps other of the council to confer with myself and Mary and the executive director of the port and Bill Blosser after today, so that we can still hold to our June 26th kickoff, which has been pretty well advertised and known, and that we come up with a satisfactory answer on the composition, and then we'll report back to council. But that would allow us then to go forward, because I think we're close. I do want to say that I've had conversations on the substance now with the port about adding an official slot for AIR, recognizing their long history in this, which would allow them, which would open up another slot, since we had anticipated that an AIR representative might take one of the community slots. By adding an explicit slot for AIR, we essentially have a composition that looks like this in our current thinking. Of the by adding AIR, we'd have a total of 26 members, which again I think is kind of pushing the envelope for workable meetings. We can always go to a much larger group and change our format. This would no longer be the kind of working steering committee. It would certainly be a kind of convention. But I think that to have a real working committee, we want that to be the center of the wheel. Again, it's not the beginning and the end of the public involvement. We're going to have extensive public involvement. But the composition as it stands, if we add the AIR slot, are essentially six. The chair and vice chair do not vote. They're essentially there to facilitate the discussion. Beyond them, there would be six members for governmental agencies, which we don't expect to be fully aligned on any given issue. There would be six representatives for industry, labor, commerce, and then there would be 12 for a variety of community interests. And again, all of those are regional in scope. So our notion is to have a balance. So I do have a little bit of concern with the testimony that's unbalanced. It's actually strictly balanced if you look at it in the most sort of strict objective terms. I think what you've been asked for is additional membership, additional representation from the community. Fair enough. But it's not that it's unbalanced to start with. So we've got sort of this balance between regional, local perspective and balance between the groups of interest, not that any of those always are expected to align neatly. If you'd like to add others in the environmental and neighborhood category, I just need you to know that that's fine, but that's a discussion I need to have with the port, because we are doing this as a partnership.
Well, but the council gets to vote on this stuff.
Correct, but the port commission
we get to agree.
But the port commission will need to vote as well.
fine.
So I just...
I mean, we don't...
I'm not suggesting you can't give me advice or you can't do something else, but
Thank you for the offer to give you advice. That's kind of our role, so...
I understand that. I just am trying to give you the framework that I also have to negotiate these things with the port. So... So that's the basic composition. I think we have handed out to you sort of what we have so far thought about in terms of slots. We have not tried to handpick members, by the way. We have asked the various constituencies to nominate their own members, so that we're not, trying to get down into the weeds and say who should represent whom. We're essentially allowing groups to come forward with their own nominations.
Mayor Potter,
what if...
Question?
That's a good question. The civic organization slot, I think Irwin or Fred suggested perhaps Air take that slot. And I think in a previous meeting I'd had with you, I think you indicated that City Club didn't really have strong interests and
that would be
nor
fine.
Perhaps League of Women Voters.
That would be fine to do that.
Mayor Potter?
Yes.
I'd like to move to amend the intergovernmental agreement between the City and Portland to memorialize the membership of the Airport Futures Planning Advisory Group as follows and is articulated in the handout given to Carla. The chair be appointed by the Portland Mayor and the Port Commission President. The vice chair would be appointed by Vancouver Mayor and the Port Commission President. City of Portland Planning Commission member will be nominated by the Portland Mayor. Representative of the City of Vancouver, nominated by the Vancouver Mayor. Port of Portland Commission member, nominated by the Port of Portland Commission. Representative of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, nominated by the DEQ. The Federal Aviation Administration, nominated by FAA Air Traffic Control. Metro would be nominated by the Metro President. Airline industry would be by invitation by the Port and the City. Tourism industry would be by invitation by the Port and City. A tenant at Portland International Airport would be at the invitation by the Port and the City. A business association, invitation by the Port and City. A military representative, invited by the Port and City. Large business that uses Portland International Airport would be invited by the Port and City. Four members representing environmental interests, recommended by the Coalition for a Livable Future. Six representatives of Portland neighborhoods recommended by the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Two representatives of Clark County neighborhoods recommended by the Vancouver Mayor and the Clark County Commissioners. Representatives of the East County area impacted by primary jet departure arrival path recommended by East County mayors. And finally, a representative from the Airport Issues Roundtable, AIR, recommended by AIR. And I need to get a second before I talk about this.
A second.
The changes that will be the point of the discussion are in the environmental representatives. I have recommended we go from two members to four members. The neighborhood interest to go from four members to six members. And the addition of the AIR representative. So there are five additional recommended. What is the substance of this?
What did you do to the civic one? Is that on there?
The civic one is on there, I believe.
I don't see it.
Must be gone.
I think the AIR substitutes for
the AIR substitutes for the civic, which I think was agreed to anyway.
Added five and took away one.
Took away one, so four. So I think that change was agreed to anyway, right, as I understood it, so that the substance of the changes, the two members representing environmental interests and two more members representing environmental interests, two more representing Portland neighborhoods. And if I could speak to it, I think that Portland International Airport is a treasure. I mean, it is truly... Anybody who's done any traveling at all is very unique in its proximity to the large city that it serves, the city of Portland. As most people know, when you go to whether it's SeaTac or Washington D.C. or New York or even San Francisco, you travel miles and miles and miles to get to the city from the airport. So I hope everybody treasures the proximity of PDX because it is a great asset. It's wonderful to get literally on light rail and drop off at the airport. I think they do a fabulous job at the airport. And I want to make sure that as this process goes forward, we don't start off with people having a negative impression of what this process is going to produce. That would be a huge mistake. Because I honestly believe, and I've always kind of lived by this, that reasonable people that are sitting at a table that where they're all equals generally come up with the same conclusions. After a while, when you develop relationships and begin discussing issues, kind of the partisanship, in my experience, goes away, and the ideas become more important than whose idea it is. And it would be a huge misstep, I think, to start that off this off with some in the community thinking that the deck is stacked. Whether it is or not is a completely separate issue. But in my view, there is an impression of that, and it colors the process. At the end of the day, I will tell you that I'm sure my colleagues want the Portland International Airport to be as successful in the future with increased demands as it has been up till now. I mean, I think it's the best airport I've ever been in. And I love the work they do out there. I love how it's part of the community. But because of that, it's very sensitive because it's part of the community. That's what makes it different. I mean, it's good, but then there are these challenges because obviously when it's the proximity is as close and abuts neighborhoods as it does, the impact of the noise is greater than in San Francisco or in Boston or in Seattle. So we have to balance those interests in a way that makes people feel like at least at the end of the day they've been heard and heard earnestly and honestly. And my intent with this amendment is just to do that, not to assure a certain outcome at all. And I've told those that I committed to making this amendment to that at the end of the day, any side that's unreasonable will be flushed out by this council. I mean, if anybody thinks they're going to come in and roll a position, whether the composition stays the way it is and, you know, the fear of the business interest coming in with one recommendation happens or if it changes and the neighborhood folks think, well, now we can go in and roll, let me just alert you right now, it won't happen because we will sniff that out and sort through what we consider to be unfairness or inequities. What is better, however, is to have a consensus report where everybody comes in and says, this balances a number of interests, and we feel good about the process, we feel good about what we're bringing to you, and we can support it. And that's my only goal in making this recommendation. Thank you.
I guess I'd like to also throw out an alternative for consideration, too. Appreciate the points Commissioner Leonard made, but I guess I'm still struck about the need. I know there's been a lot of work that's gone into the composition of the public advisory group, and I want to respect a lot of that work, but I also want to maintain a sensitivity to the balance vis-a-vis Clark County and Vancouver, and also with the Port Commission, who is our partner in this. I would suggest, I'm going to throw this out for consideration. I mean, Commissioner Leonard has an amendment. If his amendment is not accepted, I would offer this one that would actually add two neighborhood association members, one environmental member, and then it would delete categories from sort of the commercial side and the community side. It would delete the civic organization, which we've seen that there hasn't been much interest from the league or city club. And then with all due respect to Veronica Renard, it would also delete the tourism industry on the other side. So it would be a net addition of one person to this committee, so it'd go from 25 to 26. So I have a lot of respect for the tourism industry.
You'd add two neighborhoods, one environmental, and are we assuming on both these discussions that the air addition has already been made?
So yes, yeah. I'm seeing Erwin Bergman is air, and he's representing CNN.
But then air gets a spot, I thought, is what you guys said, because your handout is...
In place of the civic, we would trade that for an air slot.
That's what you were already going to do.
You want to do that. Mm-hmm.
And just to add to that discussion, my understanding is that DEQ would prefer to be a technical participant. Did I misunderstand that through the rumor mill? And does not ask for a voting seat under government slot?
Is that accurate?
That's what we've been hearing.
So that would also
So we could eliminate that one.
Well, keep in mind, I mean, we're still filling a lot of these positions. I mean, it's pretty much a moving target at this point. So it's going to be challenging to figure out